Part 3, Chapter 2, in which Harvey hitches a ride with a Pythagorean tetrad. Footnote. The Pythagorean tetrad consists of the four integer series 1, 2, 3, 4. Because all other numbers may be derived from combinations of these four, 2 plus 3 is 5, 2 plus 4 is 6, 3 plus 4 is 7, 1 plus 3 plus 4 is 8, 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 9, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 10. Pythagoras considered the series to be the numerical expression of perfection and infinity. In this chapter, the captain's new friends make up a tetrad consisting of individuals rather than integers. Aristophanes Jones, in his article, Four Elements Make One, the Journal of Higher Planes, Mohican University Press, Oaxaca, Mexico, 1999, page 43, has proposed that Harvey's new friends are also symbolic of the four elements, earth, fire, air, and water. He points out that their Greek names are representative of this symbolism. Hesiod is earth, Prometheus is fire, Anaximenes is air, and Thales is water. Back to the text. Harvey had been drifting for 3 days and 3 nights when he washed ashore on the stretch of coast known as Black's Beach. The young men who found him were college students from Salt Lake City, Utah, on vacation in California for spring break. They had been in San Diego for 5 days, and today, Easter Sunday, was their last. A small dog joined them as they started back to their car. "Hey, puppy," said Thales. "What's your name?"
"Arg," moaned Harvey.
"Arg?" said Thales. "Did he say the dog's name is Arg?"
"Argos," said Prometheus. "I think he said Argos."
At the sound of his name, the dog wheeled about and did a double back flip.
"Bravo!" cheered Thales, running off with Argos, while the others helped the captain.
As soon as they reached the street, they found their car had rear-ended a black Trans Am, knocking it to the edge of a bluff.
"Damn it, Thales," said Hesiod. "You forgot to put on the brake."
Thales got into the car and went to back it up, but put it in first gear instead, sending the Trans Am screaming to its death.
"Oops," he said.
"Hey," said Anaximenes, turning to the captain, "where do you want us to take you?"
"Salt Lake City," he said.
"Salt Lake City?" echoed Anaximenes. "That's where we're going." The sun was almost overhead when the five men and their dog piled into the 1971 Vega and started down the road. Hesiod, who was driving, was with Argos and Prometheus in front, while Harvey, his knees pulled to his chest and his feet on the stick shift, was squeezed between Thales and Anaximenes in the back. At his position in the center, the captain was perfectly equidistant from each of the others, and as the conversation moved around the car, he took on the characteristics of each personality in turn. By the time they entered the southern desert of Utah, Harvey felt he had known his new friends for 20 years.
"Should we stop at Toby Arch?" said Prometheus.
"Toby Arch?" said Hesiod.
"A cave Thales and I discovered that is going to be an arch," said Prometheus.
"What do you think?" said Hesiod to the passengers in the back.
"Toby or not Toby?" growled Harvey. "That is the question."
No sooner had the captain spoken than the Vega coughed and backfired and came to a stop. Thales and Argos leapt from the car and ran into the desert.
"Shouldn't we take some provisions?" said Anaximenes.
"Some what?" said Prometheus.
"Some things to eat," said Anaximenes.
"Oh," said Prometheus, "I thought you said provisions." Hesiod and Prometheus and Anaximenes each packed a pack, and when Hesiod had finished, they started across the sand. Making their way through the sagebrush and cedars, they walked until they came to the V-shaped meeting of two sandstone cliffs. A dune had grown between them, and when they climbed it, they saw Thales and Argos in a cave to the right. "Toby Arch!" cried Prometheus, rushing to join his friend. When the others reached the cave, Anaximenes suggested they make an offering. "Yes," agreed Prometheus, "a burnt offering to the gods." They looked around for something flammable, and Prometheus found a pipe at the back of the cave. He and Thales had left it there 2 years before, but neither one remembered it, and they were thrilled to find an authentic Indian relic. In no time the air was thick with smoke, and the pipe went around until they were all one with each other and one with themselves. Then they relaxed to watch the sunset. "How about a fire?" said Hesiod. "I've got a match," said Prometheus. "How about some wood?" There was none in the cave, so they slipped into the fading light to find some. They were reluctant to disturb any of the delicate desert beauty, but Hesiod found a dead tree that had been washed into a gully, and they carried it back to the camp. There was great excitement as Prometheus carefully prepared the fire. He moved as if in a trance, selecting and arranging twigs, crouching and rising, hopping from side to side, and with a single spark he set the kindling to blaze. "Ah," sighed the group in unison. In a final act of mastery, Prometheus leapt over the flame. "No," said Thales, "like this." Stepping back to get a running start, Thales gathered himself and came forward. Moving like an Olympian god, he took 3 giant steps and leapt into the air. Unfortunately, halfway over the fire, his foot caught a branch and threw him to the ground. "Oops," he said. Prometheus rescued the smoldering fire and soon had it breathing again. "What's to drink?" said Thales, brushing the sand from his clothes. 151 rum," said Prometheus. "Any mixers?" said Hesiod. "Mixers?" said Prometheus. "I'm not sure." He pulled a scrap of paper from his pocket and began to read. Let's see. 1 toothbrush, 1001 matches, 1 ventriloquist dummy, 12 turtle doves, 1001 more matches, general shit, coffee, whiskey, more whiskey. "Nope, no mixers. How about toothpaste and water?" Prometheus, who was as skillful with a bottle as he was with a fire, quickly made a round of drinks. "Jesus," coughed Anaximenes, taking a sip. "That'll eat your liver." "But it'll grow back by morning," said Prometheus. "It'll grow back by morning," cried Thales. "It'll grow back by morning," echoed Hesiod, Harvey, Argos, and Anaximenes. "A toast," said Prometheus. "Mud to man and man to mud," said Thales without thinking. "Yes," echoed Hesiod, Harvey, Argos, and Anaximenes. "Mud to man and man to mud." When the demon rum knocked out their superegos, they began to grunt about the cave. "Hey!" screamed Harvey, jumping to his feet. "Hey!" screamed the others, rising to join him. Footnote. A traveler on the highway, who looked remarkably like Robert Bly, heard the raving and paused to listen before continuing into the night. Back to the text. The fire was the main attraction, and they leapt in imitation of its flames, filling the air with handfuls of sand. Their shadows danced on the wall. "Hi!" cried Harvey, pointing to an enormous black form. "Hi!" cried the others, scurrying for safety. When they realized they could control the shapes, they began to make animals that frolicked and played on the stage. They interacted in peace until Harvey moved closer to the fire and his shadow obliterated the scene. Enraged, the other animals turned on the apocalyptic figure. With a mammoth to his left and a bison to his right, it looked like the end for our prehistoric hero. But the captain held his ground, fighting with the same fury with which he was attacked. When the rum lost its hold, the group settled down to dinner. There was mammoth and bison meat aplenty, and when they had all had their fill, Anaximenes drew a book from his pack and began to read. "That shadow my likeness, that goes to and fro, seeking a livelihood, chattering, haggling. How often I find myself standing and looking at it where it flits. How often I question and doubt whether that is really me. But among my friends, and singing these songs, oh, I never doubt whether that is really me." "Pretty damn platonic," belched Prometheus, gulping a mouthful of rum. Anaximenes went on to another poem, and another, continuing to read even after the others were no longer listening, until he had finally had enough and closed the book. Then the group fell to talking. They discussed women, and women, and women, and other things of grave and profound importance, until they had answered all of time's immortal questions and solved the meaning of life. Then they settled back to themselves. Thales to the remaining rum, Prometheus to the fire, Anaximenes to his poems, Hesiod to the earth, and Harvey and Argos to each other. The next morning they were awakened by the sound of ravens, and Anaximenes looked up at the sky and said, "The air is becoming denser. It will rain soon, and then it will snow." "We'd better get started," said Hesiod, arranging his pack.